Today's Shi'ez Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Tes. We're beginning the new parak. Says the Mishnah, "Hishalcha Baal of Tzaros L'Medina Siyam." There was a woman. She and her husband had no children. Her husband had another wife also. Her husband and the other wife travel overseas. Bo and the message comes back. Vamla Meis Balach. Her husband passed away. So she is a woman that we're assuming is mechuyev in Yibam, because we know her not to have children. So does she have to have Yibam? Does she not have to have Yibam? Is she allowed to marry someone else or not? Says the Mishnah Leiter Nasei, we don't allow her to marry someone else because we're concerned that her husband had no children and she's obligated to have Yibam. On the other hand, we don't allow her to have Yibam because maybe the co-wife had children. And if the co-wife had children, so she's not allowed to live with her brother-in-law. Achateda, until we actually find out, Shema Muberesi Tarasa. If her sister, if a co-wife did or didn't get pregnant. And in fact, the Mefarshim make a very interesting diuk in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say that we have to find out if a sister-in-law had a child. All we have to do is find out if a sister-in-law got pregnant. As soon as we know that the sister-in-law is pregnant, we can assume that the pregnancy will be a successful pregnancy, and she's already allowed to get married to a man because her sister-in-law, because her co-wife, Hatzara, had a child. Another case. Hois l'chamois, if she had a mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law traveled overseas, and that is a very big question. She is under the assumption that she has no brother-in-laws. She's under the assumption she has no brother-in-laws, so even if her husband dies, then she can't, without children, she can't have Yibam. There's nobody to have Yibam with. So does she have to be concerned that her mother-in-law had a baby overseas and that there is a brother-in-law out there that she has to have Yibam with when her husband died without children? Says the Mishnah Enecha Sheshes. She doesn't have to be concerned. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, and a big part of what we're going to be learning in today's Shir is that we're dealing with statistics. The chances her mother-in-law had a baby overseas that would require to have Yibam are very low. Let's think it through why. Number one, her mother-in-law, we don't know, was pregnant. Even if we know her mother-in-law was pregnant, she might have miscarried. And even if she didn't miscarry, she might have had a girl. So if you start thinking about the probabilities that there is a Yavam out there, they're very low, and that's why she could get married and doesn't have to be concerned that there's a Yavam out there. However, Yotsa Malaya, she does know her mother-in-law was pregnant, so now the probabilities change, and that's why Choshesha, she can't get married without knowing what is the status. Rishua says, even if we know that the mother-in-law is pregnant, and Choshesha's, because as we said, just because the mother-in-law is pregnant, still she might have miscarried, and even if she didn't miscarry, she might have had a girl, so she still, we follow and don't require her to do anything, and she could get married without concern. There's a machloikas rishonim, how to understand what Rabbi Yeshua will say in the first case of the Mishnah. In the first case of the Mishnah, again, we're dealing with probabilities. The probabilities are that the co-wife had a child. So will Rabbi Yeshua in that case also say I don't have to be concerned or not? Some rishonim say that the pshat of Rabbi Yeshua is, Rabbi Yeshua says we follow the chazaka. This is a woman we always assume will require Yibam, so the Reish shall require Yibam. And the Sefer, this is a woman that we always knew did not have a brother-in-law, and we don't have to be concerned. Then, the others say that no. In the second case that we just discussed, the case of the mother-in-law, when we look at probabilities, the probability of her having a requirement for Yibam is low, even if the mother-in-law is pregnant, because maybe she miscarried and maybe she had a girl. In the first case, as soon as the tzara has a child, makes no difference if it's a boy or a girl, she is not a candidate for Yibam anymore, because as long as the husband left the child, makes no difference if he left a male or a female child. And that's why in the Reisha, Rabbi Yeshua will agree that she loit nasev loit asyabim until we find out what the status of the tzar is. The Neid of Yehuda also discusses a very fundamental shaila based on our Mishnah. Well, with Alocha, there's a couple that were married. As far as they knew, this husband had no brothers. And therefore, even though he had no children, the assumption the whole life was that even if he'll die without children, his wife will not require Hibam, there's no brother-in-law. Does the Halacha require us to be concerned that there is a brother-in-law out there, that there is a brother-in-law out there that we don't know about? It's a Shaila the Neid of Yehuda raises, and most Paiskim say that, again, here too, since we're not aware of a brother-in-law, the Halacha does not tell us that we have to start being concerned that there is a brother-in-law and she should not be allowed to get married because we don't know for sure that there is or there isn't. That would change everything. And I'm going to make it even better, Shaila. The Chem de Shloima discusses this Shaila. The Chem de Shloima discusses a Shaila, what would be the halacha if the mother-in-law traveled overseas and was overseas with the father-in-law for many years? So, yes, in a case where she wasn't pregnant, we don't have to be concerned that she got pregnant. But let's say she was there for many years, and the chances of getting pregnant over the years keep on increasing. Because what were our concerns? That maybe she wasn't pregnant, or maybe she was pregnant and miscarried, or maybe she had a girl. But as you add years to the time that she was overseas and don't know what happened to her, chances keep on increasing that she did get pregnant and had a good pregnancy and had a son. Well, the Mishnah didn't still apply. And the Chem de Shloima says a very bechiddush. Says, no. The Mishnah is referring to a case that the mother-in-law traveled overseas without the father-in-law. So as far as we're concerned, she wasn't married, she never had another child, and she couldn't have had a child. But if the mother-in-law traveled overseas with the father-in-law and was there for a serious period of time, then the whole din of the Mishnah changes, because there the probabilities change. Dar Samech disagrees, and Dar Samech says, what our Mishnah seems to be teaching us is that even the Tanakam will hold that since we have no reason to believe she got pregnant, we will not be machmer. Then we would have to be machmer. Now, ask the Gemara, and this is the way Tosfos tells us to understand this piece of Gemara. The Mishnah in the Reisha said, "Latinosev to siavim achateid Hashem muberes he tzarasa." So Tosfos says the word "he" is superfluous. Others explain Tosfos. John says the word "tzarasa." She says Shem muberes. Maybe we know we're talking about the tzara. Why does I have to add these words? My he tzarasa answers the Gemara Hakamashmon. We only have to know the status of this tzara. We know that the husband traveled overseas with the tzara, and we don't know if the tzara did or didn't have children. So let's say we're able to determine that the tzara had no children. So does that say that end all questions? Maybe it doesn't end all questions, because we still have to be concerned that maybe he married another woman, this husband overseas, and that woman had a child. So do we have to be concerned that he married another woman or not? Says the Gemara, we don't have to have that concern. But there's a very big chiddush from the Cheshik Shloima that says, when don't we have to be concerned that the husband married another wife? Is when he went with a wife. So he has one wife here, and he has another wife overseas. We don't think he's going to take a third wife. But again, it's in times of Gemara. But let's say he goes without any wife. So maybe we should be concerned, says the Cheshik Shloima, he's not going to remain alone. And when he traveled overseas, he married another woman that we don't even know about her. So the Cheshik Shloima says maybe we should be concerned about that. But most Paiskim aren't concerned about that. And they say that if he traveled overseas without a wife, even with a no wife, we don't have to be concerned that he married and she had a child. So the halacha was, we understand why she's not a candidate for Yibam. The Dilma Me'abra, maybe the co-wife got pregnant, and therefore she can't have relations with her brother-in-law, because kapog be'eshes achta reisa. El lo tenosei amai, why don't we allow her to get married? Why don't we say, holach ach roiv nashim, we should follow majority, v'roiv nashim misabris v'yoldos. Why shouldn't we assume that the tzara had a child? Because most women do get pregnant and Baruch Hashem have children, and here makes no difference if it's a boy or a girl. As long as he has children, she's no longer a candidate for Yibam. So why don't we let her get married? Lema, should we say that the Tan of our Mishnah Ramehi the Chayish Lemiyuta, we find throughout Shas that Ramehi is the man da'amah that's always concerned even for something that's not likely. And therefore here, even though most women get pregnant, well, he's concerned maybe she didn't get pregnant, and therefore she may have got pregnant and miscarried, and therefore he is worried. And that's going to be the Tan of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Afilu Tam Rabbanan. We could explain the Mishnah according to Rabbanan. Because Ki Azli Rabbanan Basarayv, when did Rabbanan say we follow the majority? Ruba the Issa Kamon. When we have a regular situation of majority. Kigoyim. What's the example of Ruba the Issa Kamon? The Gemara gives two examples. Teshe Chanuyos. Classical example that we had many times in Shas. There are 10 stores in a neighborhood. 9 are kosher, 1 is not. And a piece of meat is found on the street. And we need to know, we have to determine, is the piece of meat kosher or not? So we follow the majority. Or Sanhedrin. A case of a Sanhedrin where we have 23 members of a Sanhedrin, and they take a vote, and we follow a majority. However, here, we're not dealing with that type of roiv. Here we're dealing with a ruba de lesser kamon. It's not a situation that we're taking a vote. We're following roiv that most women have children. They're like Azur Rabban and Basar Ruba. There the Rabbanan don't follow Roiv. And even the Rabbanan Achayish Lemiyuta. And there are a number of explanations given by the Achroinim. What's the difference between a Ruba de Issa Kamon and a Ruba de Leisa Kamon? Rabbi Chanan says it's a Gzeiras HaKosef, that these are two types of Roiv. Because let's understand it. There's one type of Roiv, which is a simple majority. It's like we always know, Roiv, we follow the majority. We take a vote, majority rules. The other type of Roiv, we didn't take any vote. We're assuming most women who are married have children. There's no vote. There's no majority here. And therefore, it's a very different... It's a roiv because that's the way the world works. That's why it's a very different type of roiv. And the Gemara is suggesting that the Rabbanan don't follow that roiv. There's another pshat that when do we follow a roiv? When do Rabbanan follow a roiv? When we have a majority. So we could point very clearly, this is the roiv. Here we can't point to any individual and say that this is the roiv. We're talking about one woman. We're not talking about a group. And therefore, Rabbanan will agree that we don't follow roiv. Before we go further, Rameya, the Gemara saying, is Chayish Lemiyuta. So Mefarshim asked a very fundamental question. How do we know Rashi says the Rameya is Chayish Lemiyuta? Because Rameya considered all Kutim Oiv De Avoy De Zara. Even though it was a very small group of Kutim that we caught being Oiv De Avoy De Zara, he says, since we had this small group Oiv De Avoy De Zara, we have to be concerned that they're all Oiv De Avoy De Zara. But there's a very simple question. There's a pasuk in the Torah that we all know. Acher Rabim L'Hatos. We follow the majority. So how could a mayor ignore an explicit pasuk in the Torah? So Mefarshim say the mayor certainly agrees that in a situation where we have to take a vote, like our case of the Sanhedrin, Rameyah certainly says we follow the majority. It's a pasuk in the Torah. We're dealing in a situation where it's not that obvious, and that's where it's Chayish Lemiyuta. There's a very nice chassidish of art from the Michas Elazar. We know that the minig is that even when somebody is unfortunately very, very ill, we give tzedakah to Rameyah Balanes. To tzedakahs that are Rameyah Balanes tzedakahs, to hope that that will be a schus that the person should have refuah shleima. Why specifically to Rameyah Balanes? So because Rameyah Balanes is the one in our Gemara who says Chayish Lemiyuta. We always have hope. So even if you have a person who's very, very ill and there's not much hope, Rameyah says Lemiyuta. We're worried about even the smallest percentage. So that's why we give tzedakah to Rameyah Balanes. The one that said that schus should be a schus that everybody should be well, even if the situation is not so good. Ask the Gemara. Is that true that the Rabbanan don't follow Roiv by Ruba de Lesser Kamon? Verherei Katan V'Ktana. The situation of Katan V'Ktana, which is a situation we're going to describe in a moment, of Ruba de Lesser Kamon, and yet, Azli Rabbanan Basar Roiv. What is the case? A Bryce that we've, Baruch Shem, learned many times. The Bryce says, Katan V'Ktana Loi Choltzim V'Loi Miyabim. A Katan V'Ktana are not candidates, neither for Chalitza nor for Yibim, Divir Rameya. Amloil Rameya. So Rabbanan say to Rameya, Yofa Marta, we certainly agree, Shein Choltzim, they're not candidates to give Chalitza, because Ishk Sibiparsha, the Torah says it has to be an adult male. And umakshin and isha lish, we compare the female to the male, and therefore also the isha has to be gdoila. Al matam em yabim. Why shouldn't a cotton be able to do yibum? And as the Mefarshim explained, you know why a cotton can't do yibum? Because he's a cotton, and a cotton can't do a kedushin. Answer the Rishonim. If the discussion here were that a cotton wanted to marry a wife, so we could say a cotton is not an adult, he doesn't have that ability. But what is yibum? It's a nice way to start wrapping up the Masechta. What is yibum? Yibum is just an extension of the marriage that was a valid marriage, the marriage of the brother. That a cotton just has to continue, extend what was there previously. So why is the halacha cotton can't do yibum? Amalai, so Rabbi Yehuda Remeir responds, cotton shem yim to soris. By cotton we have to be concerned that maybe he's going to be a soris. Tana, we have to be concerned, shem yim to idleness. And as we've learned, soris or idleness can't do yibum. And therefore, if we're going, we have to be concerned that maybe this boy is going to be determined to be a soris. Maybe this girl is going to turn out to be a idleness. But nimtzuk apoygim be'erva. V'rabbanan that disagree with Rameya hold. Zil, basar, ruba. We follow the majority. Zil, basar, ruba. The ktanim, rov ktanim. Most boys, baruch Hashem, lost recininu. We don't have to be worried. Zil, basar, rov ktanis. Follow the majority of Ktanis, V'roif Ktanis, Lav Eilenis Anu. So this is a Ruba Delaitz Kamon. This is a case that we're following just the Metzias in the world, the facts of life. And the Rabbanim follow Roif. Al Machvata, our Mishnah, the Reisha, which is concerned that the Tzorah did not have a child, and therefore we don't allow the other wife to get married, must be representing the Sheet of Ramei here. The Mefarshim, the Rashonim, the Achronim ask a very simple question. Yes, the Rabbanim follow Roif. So even though they follow Roif, and therefore they're not really that concerned that this boy is going to turn out to be a Soros, and they're not that concerned that this girl is going to turn out to be an idleness. But why ask a Shaila? Why don't we just wait till they become 18 years old, and 20 years old, as we learned early in the Masechta, and then we'll know for sure if he is a Soros. If she is an idleness, and we don't have to come on to any shilas. So the Rashba says, based on this Gemara, from here we see the power of Roif. Since the Rabbanim rely on Roif, and Roif tells us that we don't have to be worried that this boy is a Soros, Roif tells us that we don't have to be worried that this girl is an idleness, we don't have to wait. That's how the Rashba answers. I saw from the Siddur Shel Shabbos, he says a different answer. Very important lesson in life also. The Siddur Shel Shabbos says, here we have an opportunity to do a mitzvah of Yibam. What are we saying? That why do we have to have a Shaila? Is he a Soros? Is she an idleness? Let's just wait. But what is the cost of waiting? The cost of waiting is delaying doing a mitzvah. That's not an option, delaying doing a mitzvah. We always want to do a mitzvah at our first opportunity. And that's why the Gemara doesn't give that as an option. B'mai Okimta. So how do we explain our Mishnah? Kremeya. The our Mishnah is following the position of Rameya, that's Chai and Shlomiyuta. Aim is safer. So let's continue learning the Mishnah. Hosla Chamois, if she had a mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law traveled overseas, Aina Chasheshes. We're not concerned. And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, because it's a very unlikely situation that there should be a problem. Because we don't know if the mother was pregnant. We don't know if she didn't miscarry, even if she was pregnant. And we don't know if she had a boy, maybe she had a girl. In fact, I saw the Poskim use this Svek Sveika, the Rekeach, a Rishon, use this Svek Sveika for a very interesting Shaila. He asks, how could a woman who's married to a Kohen ever go to a Beis HaKvaris, ever go to Levaya? Maybe she's carrying a boy. And if she's carrying a boy, a Kohen, even as a child, is not allowed to become Tameh. So, and as the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, we're not talking about a woman who's at the beginning of a pregnancy. Because at that point, not imminently due. Because then the child is part of the mother, so it's in any way not a Shaila. But let's say we have a situation, explains the Mishnah Berurah, where we have a woman who's due any moment, and she's married to a Kohen. How could she go to Levaya? The child may be a boy. So he says, based on our Gemara, first of all, there's a suffix that she may miscarry, chas v'shalom, and even if she doesn't miscarry, she may have a girl. So the probabilities are that there's no shayla, and that's why she's allowed to go to Beis HaKfaris. But she doesn't have to have a sonogram, says the Gemara. But according to Rameya, Amai, why does he allow this woman to get married? Why don't we follow the following formula? Why don't we follow the majority? Most women do have children. Yes, Niat Mapilis, some have miscarriages. The Kala Yoldus, and even the ones that go full term, Mechza Zacharim, Mechza Nekevis, Samach Mi'uta de Mi'apelis. So we take the small group that miscarry, Lemechza Nekevis, to the 50% chance that she has a girl, Vavale Zachar Mi'uta. That's why the Tanakam of our Mishnah, that's why we hold that she could get married and she doesn't have to be concerned that her mother-in-law had another child. However, according to Rameya, that is choshish for miyit. So yes, the chances of there being a boy is a miyit, but Rameya is choshish for miyit. V'leichish, Dilma, why don't we answer, what do you call it, that maybe she had a boy, and why is the Rameya, who was saying is the Tana of our Mishnah, allow that if her mother-in-law, we don't know her mother-in-law had a baby, or we don't know her mother-in-law was pregnant, she could get married and not have to be concerned that maybe she has a brother-in-law? Answers the Gemara, this is a woman, as we said when we learned the Mishnah, that we always knew will not require Yibam. Her husband has no brothers. There's a chazaka on this woman that she doesn't require Yibam. So we follow the chazaka. Ask the Gemara, and this is the way Taisa teaches us to learn the Gemara. So if we're learning now, the Rameya follows a chazaka, that according to Rameya, chazaka has so much power, so then why don't we follow chazaka in the Reish also? Reisha, the chazak liibim tishabim. What happened in the Reisha? In the Reisha, it's just the opposite. This is a woman that we knew her husband has no children. This is a woman that we always knew that when her husband's going to die, she's going to have yibim. Now we come up with concerns about our tzara. But why? If Ramei is following the chazaka, we should follow the chazaka and not be concerned. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Reisha disakaris. What's going to be in the Reisha? She's going to have Yibam, and maybe she shouldn't have. What is the Avera that a woman has Yibam when she's not supposed to? It's a very strong Avera. It's the Avera of Eishes Ach, Tzachiv Karis. What is the Avera concerning the Sefer? Sefer is an Isalav. What's the concern? That she's going to get married when she to somebody else when she should have had Yibam, which is a lav. That's why we're more concerned in the Reisha than we are in the Sefer. Reisha disakares chashashu. Sefer disalav loy chashashu. Ask the Gemara. Amar Rava. What kind of answer is this? Michti. Hodaraisa v'hodaraisa. And isakares is isadaraisa and isalav is daraisa. So mali isakares, mali isalav. Why do we differentiate? And as Rashi explains, Rashi says there are two types of gzeres chazal. Sometimes chazal make a gzer because they're concerned that the person is actually going to do an Avera. When there's a concern that the person's actually doing an Avera, it doesn't make a difference if it's Nisakaris or Nisalav. And Nisalav is also an Avera. When Chazal are making a new Gzeira, when they're making a Achoka, when they're making a Takana to safeguard, they're more concerned about Karis or Lav. But here it's not a Achoka, here it's Mamish and Avera. So why are we more lenient by Nisalav than Nisakaris? And in fact, I saw the Trumas Adeshan uses this concept, la'aloch l'maisa. We know that chametz noiksha is not really chametz. But Chazal told us that on Pesach, we should not eat even chametz, or benefit from chametz noiksha. You can't eat chametz noiksha. You shouldn't benefit from chametz noiksha. Says the Trumas Adeshan, that erev Pesach, we were not allowed to eat chametz either, from chatzos or earlier, the din of chametz noiksha doesn't apply. Because the whole point of chametz noiksha is only a takana to safeguard that we shouldn't be over the raisa. On Pesach, chametz is an isakaris. On Erev Pesach, chametz is an isalav. Since Erev Pesach, it's only an isalav, as Rashi just taught us, we don't make takanas for isalav even though we make takanas v'sakaras. But here we're not talking about a takana, as the Gemara. So why is the Mishnah differentiating? So if our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rav Meir, what's the difference? Why in the Reisha, in the Sefer, why in the Reisha is Chayish L'miyuta and the Sefer is not? El Amarava. The way to understand the Mishnah, and this is the way I understand it, pure probabilities. The Mishnah says like this. Reisha, we begin with a Chazaka that she's a candidate for Yibam. Because as far as we always knew, she has a husband without children, and she's going to have Yibam. The Roiv says that she doesn't have to have Yibam. Why? Because the Roiv is that most women have children. So we could assume, the Roiv tells us that the Tzara had children. Chazaka, the Chazaka halachically is never as strong. Chazaka loy odif kiruba. Chazaka is never as good as a Roiv. However, we do have another Mia to be concerned about. That even if the co-wife, the Tzara, got pregnant, but we have to be concerned, Isa Miyat the Mipolis. So there is a percentage of women who get pregnant that unfortunately miscarry. So we have now the following. The Chazaka tells us she should have Yibam. The Rav says she should not have Yibam. But now we have another Miyat, which Ramei is always concerned about, that also says she should have Yibam. So that turns into a palga-palga. It turns into a 50-50 situation. Have like palga-palga, and that's why status quo, like to nasev, like to siyabim. That's the ratio. Now let's understand the sefer. The sefer is like this. Here the chazaka is that she could get married. Why? Because we always knew that this man doesn't have children and doesn't have any brothers. The roiv also tells us she could get married. Because even if the mother-in-law got pregnant, chances are she didn't have a boy. Why are chances are that she didn't have a boy? Again, because number one, maybe she miscarried. And even if she, Baruch Hashem, didn't miscarry, she 50% had a chance of having a girl. So the Chazaka and Roiv both point to her being allowed to be married to anyone. So the chances that her mother-in-law had a boy is only a miyut to miyuta. Even Rameya that's concerned for a miyut, he's not concerned for miyut de miyuta. Miyut de miyuta lechayish Rameya, and therefore in the Sefer, if we don't know that the mother-in-law was pregnant, even Rameya would agree that she could get married l'shuk, and she doesn't have to be concerned that she has a brother-in-law. The Mefarshim explain that this is what it says in the Torah. The Torah comes and says by Yehuda, when Yehuda was told that Tamar, actually he was the one that had relations with her, Hine Zansa Tamar, Hine Haral Znunim. Tamar did an Avera of Znus, and she's pregnant. So Mefarshim asks, what's the difference if she's pregnant? We should anyway have to kill her, because she did the Maisa of Znus. She did an Avera of Znus. Somebody who does that various nus, it makes no difference if they get pregnant or not. Answer the Mefarshim that Yehuda held like Rameya. Since he held like Rameya, Tamar was a ketana. So we have to be concerned that maybe Tamar is an islandess. So even though she did the Yavera, she may be an islandess, and if she's an islandess, she's not considered married to the sons because it was a mekachtos. So he says, Vihine Haral is Nunim. She's not an islandess. What's the proof she's not islandess? Because she's pregnant. And therefore, that's only after we know that she's pregnant and she's not an islandess, so she was truly married, is she chayiv misa. Leit nosav leit siyabim. So the halach is that the reisha, just to review the case of the reisha, a couple were married with no children. We always assume that this woman would be a candidate for yibum. Her husband travels overseas with the tzara, and we don't know, did she or did she not have children? Because of that suffix, the Reisha said, we can't let her get married, we can't let her have Yibam. So the Gemara goes further. Ulo Olam, doesn't mean this is forever. Amaziri, Ziri explains. La'atzma shlosha chadashim. She has to wait 3 months till she can get married. Because the halacha is that a woman, after her husband passes away, always has to wait 3 months. And even, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, let's say this couple didn't have relations for years before he died. Like the case of our Mishnah. He was overseas, so she can't be pregnant. He wasn't here, makes no difference. Loy plug. Chazal say, and this is an important halacha, that if a woman gets divorced, or if a woman loses her husband, she may not get remarried under any circumstances for the first 3 months. Furthermore, we have to be concerned that her co-wife was pregnant, and the halacha is that if one of the co-wives are pregnant, none of them can have yibum or chalitza until that pregnancy is determined to be a full term and it comes to a child or not. L'chaveret, she has to wait tisha. But after the 9 months pass, she'll have chalitza b'man of shach. Why does she have chalitza b'man of shach? Let's think this through. Man of shach. If the husband died without brothers, so she's a candidate for yibum, she has chalitza. The husband died with children, so the chalitza is meaningless. That's what Ziri says. Rav Chanina Amar, l'chaveratzma shloisha, Shitaka, like we just said, has to wait 3 months. Like all women, after their husbands die, have to wait 3 months. And lechaverta la'olam. Because of a co-wife, she can never get married. Ask the Gemara why. The tachlis from manavshach. Why don't we allow her to do chalitza after 9 months, as we just very clearly explained? That chalitza will solve her problems with manavshach. If her husband died without children, she had chalitza. If her husband died with children, so she had chalitza. So what? Answers the Gemara. Abaye bar Oven, Rav Chanina bar Oven, Amri Tavayu, Gzer Shem Yei Vlad bar Kayama. Maybe it does turn out that her husband had a child. So the chalitza turned out to be meaningless. V'nimtzat machriza kruz lakuna. First we thought that chalitza was a good chalitza. As we've learned, a chalitza may not marry a kohen. But when it turns out that the chalitza was a meaningless chalitza, so she's allowed to marry a kohen. So what happens is, we're going to have to now make an announcement. So says the Gemara Salatricha. So we'll make an announcement. Well, when we discover that a husband had a child, we'll make an announcement. The chalitza that this woman had is a meaningless chalitza. Says the Gemara, we're concerned. Dilma ikadav b'chalitza. There will be somebody that's aware of the chalitza. But won't be aware when we make this announcement that the chalitza was a meaningless chalitza. V'amri, and people are going to make the mistake of thinking kashari chalutz l'kayim. People are going to make an announcement, not be aware of it. I'm going to see this woman. I was at the Beis Din. I saw it on the internet, the chalitza. But I wasn't there when they made the announcement that it was a meaningless chalitza. So I'm going to come to make a mistake that a chalutz is allowed to marry a kayim. Let's think this through. What's the repercussions? She can never get married. So isn't it better that she should get married? So Chazal said no. Chazal said no. Even though I thought that the Mefarshim are all very concerned about this woman. Because we now have a woman who could never get married. So they want to come up with some sort of a solution for this woman. So one solution that some Mefarshim attempt to say is that she should make a neder that she'll never marry a kohen. So therefore, there's no concern. She can't marry a kohen. The first one say that doesn't work because we won't know that she made the nether. Same way like we don't know that we make an announcement that the chalitza was meaningless, we also won't be aware of the nether. But others give a very interesting eitzah. She's a yavama. She's a possible yavama. We learned earlier in the Masech that this Rebbe Kivega's son says this eitzah, Shlomo Eger, that a yavama l'shuk, even though she shouldn't do this, if she takes kedushin from someone, the kedushin is effective. Because it's only a chayv lav. So let her have a kedushin. Then she'll have to have a get. She's megureshes. A megureshes is never allowed to marry a kohen anyway. So our concern that she's going to end up marrying a kohen can never happen. The Paiskin used this gemara for a very interesting shaila. It comes up. In Europe, it was very common that the people did not have, the communities did not have that much funding. So they used to have one person doing many jobs. Typically, the shaychit was also the chazan. So it was a situation where there was a community that could afford to have a shaychit and a chazan. But then the funding went down, and they had to combine the two positions. And the person who was the established shliach tzibur in the community wasn't a shaychit. No, he couldn't do it. So they wanted to let him go because they wanted to be able to hire an individual that could do both jobs. So the Paiskim say, based on our Gemara, that you can't. Because when people will see that the Shlich Tzibur was let go, as our Gemara says, you don't always know the reason for what happened. People say, oh, he was let go. They're going to say he was let go because he did something wrong. Because the halacha is very strict about not letting people go until we really have very legitimate reason to do that. So we may have a situation that we're letting the person go for the most legitimate reason, because we need a sheikh in town. But the people in the street don't know about that. Like our Gemara says, the people in the street will not realize that the chalitza wasn't good, and therefore the halacha is that you can't let the chazan go and under those circumstances. 10 continues. Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Amud Beis. Nitnali ben b'menina sayam. A woman comes, this is a woman that we knew was always without child, that her husband didn't have any children. She comes and says, we had a child in b'menina sayam, but she says, meis b'ni, fach kach b'ali. My son died before my husband, so I'm still requiring to have Yibam. Namenis. She's trusted. What about a situation where she says, meis b'ali, fach kach b'ni, where she says, first my son, my husband died, and then my son. So according to her, she's not required to have Yibam, because at the defining moment of death, her husband had a child, ain't in a menace. However, the Mishnah said, even though the Chazaka tells us she should have Yibam, we are concerned that maybe what she's saying is indeed true, and therefore, the Chashin with Varel, we have to be concerned that what she's saying is true, and the halacha is, the Chaletza Sulemis Yabemis. She should have only chalitza, because if what she's saying is true, she isn't a candidate for Yibam, because there was a son at the moment of death. Ask the Gemara, based on the Gemara that we just learned, by us requiring her to have chalitza, v'nimtz v'leichish, dil ma'os eidav amrika the camera. Maybe, ultimately, Eidim will come and corroborate what she said. And will corroborate that first the husband died, and then the son died. If that's the case, if the husband died and then the son died, the chalitza that she underwent turns out to be a meaningless chalitza. And we're going to have to make an announcement that that was a meaningless chalitza. But didn't our Gemara just teach us that we never make a chalitza that may result in us having to have to make an announcement that that chalitza was meaningless? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa Begrusha. Here, this woman had a past history of being a grusha. So since she was a grusha, she'll never be allowed, and from a previous marriage. So she'll never be able to marry a kohen anyway, so we don't have this concern. This mission is referring to a situation where this woman tells us that I and my husband were in a secluded area all the time, and there was nobody there that could ever come testify who died first, my husband or my son. So what is our concern? That Adam may come and say that her son died after the father and therefore the chalitza was not necessary? It's never going to happen because she was in a place where there were no Adam.